Glad you're here this morning. I had Darlene do, remember several weeks ago we did the message on when the rocks cry out, and had Darlene and Lois, I believe, that got her rocks put up there and they started taking down. I said, no, wait, let's leave them. I'm going to use them again. And they've been up there for several weeks now. And that's one thing I'd like to talk about this morning. In reference to these stones, if you stop and think about it, the word stones is used quite often in the scripture. They were used to build altars when they gave sacrifices to the Lord in the Old Testament. They were used to stone people for punishment. What else were they used for? What? Cornerstones for buildings. They were used for foundations.
Markers.
They were used as markers. Markers.
Jacob used one as a pillow.
A pillow. Pillow. My goodness. I'm so thankful that we don't have to use them for pillows. Pardon? Right, the millstone, about if you cause somebody to stumble, a millstone.
David put one to good use,
drilled her right home. So it can be used as weapons, a pillow, as a memorial, as a marker, as a, they even used them to mark land, correct? Moses did spoke to one time and struck one another time when he wasn't supposed to, correct?
Ebenezer.
If we do not praise him, well, even the stones themselves would cry out. That's what that sermon was on, the triumphal entry. Anything else we can think of? Hey, yeah, that's a good one. Stones to write the Ten Commandments.
That's a hard copy.
Amen. Stephen, they stoned Stephen. They would stone people to death. The title of the message is kind of, I think you'll understand it more after we go through this passage of Scripture, but it's to share what God has done. And we're going to be in the book of Joshua this morning, chapter 4. This is an account. They have been wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years, and this older generation that has sinned against God they have died off. We have this younger generation, and they have come to the Jordan. The Jordan River is at flood stage. And they're going to cross into to Canaan, the promised land, the land that God has promised to give them. He took them out of slavery from the Egyptians, and they, as a result of sin against God and rebellion against God, they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. And now they have come to this point. That generation had died off. Another generation is there, and they're getting ready to cross the Jordan River. And it takes up in Joshua chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 through 9, and then we're going to go back and look at a few things. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Verse 9, And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. Now, we have this account here where God gave orders for the preparing of this memorial. If you'll notice in verse 1, it says, And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, So the Lord was telling Joshua what to do for the preparing of this memorial. Without this divine direction, it would have looked like to the Israelite people that Joshua was trying to make a name for himself. The people realized that he was being directed of God. And in this story here, that God's works should be kept in everlasting remembrance. Can you imagine some of the Israelite people here, the Hebrew people here, that when they were crossing over, and think about it in relation to our lives today. I'm going to point out just a few things here. With these Israelite people, some felt that there was no concern there to remember that as they crossed over. Others may have made such an impression on them, you know, in experiencing that, it made such an impression on them that they thought they would never ever have to be reminded, that they would always remember that they would never forget. But God, knowing our human nature, He knew that they would soon forget, and he ordered a keeping of this to all generations. In verse 1, it tells us that the Lord said to Joshua, it was being directed of the Lord. In verses 2 and through 4, he tells us that there's a man out of each tribe, would take a stone. In other words, all 12 of them would be involved. Each man there would be responsible for sharing the story with his tribe. And as you stop and think about that, the each one of us today, we have a tribe. We have people that we come in contact with. We have people that have same interests as us. There are people that only you can be a witness and a testimony to. And in regards to that, we have memorials in our life, things in our life that we can share with them the power of God in our lives. Amen. Thank you. Now these stones that are set up, and he tells them that they are for a memorial. They're taken out the very place where the priest stood. Now, if you go back and look at verses 3 through 5, he says, And command ye them, saying, Take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm. 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. In other words, this entire group of people crossed over in one day. Because he says, where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder. So it had to have been a pretty good sized stone according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, which was 12. They took these stones and they set them up as a memorial, and they were taken out of the very place where the priest stood with the ark of God there in the river. And these stones, it tells us in verse 6 that they were appointed for a what? A sign. That this may be a sign among you there in verse 6. And also a, what does it say in verse 7? That verse 6, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a what? Memorial. So it was a sign, it was a memorial to the great things that God had done in their lives. God is telling them that this is giving them an opportunity for children to ask their parents, where did these stones come from? What mean ye by these stones? Where did these stones come from? You know, you stop and think about this. We'll talk about this here in a minute too. When I've always read this, I've always read it as it being fathers, mothers, grandfathers, grandmothers' responsibility to pass on to their children. But there's also responsibility of the children here too, and we're going to look at that here in a minute. Now, there was an order that these things were done in, that he instructed Joshua to do it. These 12 stones were taken out of Jordan, and God was giving them freedom. They were freed from the bondage, from the slavery of Egypt, and they were going into the promised land, and they were to take possession of that land. And he was letting them enter. And just like the Lord Jesus is our Joshua, He has overcome death. He has dried up the Jordan River, and he has opened the kingdom to all believers so that we might enter into that promised land. What did he do? He appointed 12 apostles, and that for them was the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he appointed those apostles to share that memorial, the gospel, to pass on that knowledge of the gospel to different places, to remote places, and even future generations. So when you look at this story and read it, you cannot help but think about the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, and that the floodwaters that they came up out of, that Jesus Christ arose from the dead. This message here is one that we should share, and that is the gospel. But we should also share the things that God has done for us in our lives. Now let's go to verses 10 through 19. For the priests which bare the ark stood in Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people. So the priests, they were standing there in the Jordan until everything was finished. that the Lord commanded Joshua, speaking to the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. And the people hasted and passed over. In other words, they were in a hurry, and they did it hurriedly, and they passed over. Verse 11, and it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people, and the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle unto the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they may come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up into dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned into their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. Verse 19, and the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. Joshua did just as God commanded him to do. The people, tells us in verse 10, that they hurried and they passed over. You think some of them were in a hurry because maybe they were not able to trust God? Looking at that water, looking at them, that water that had built up. Remember, the river was at flood stage, and they were crossing on dry ground. Don't you think some of them were in a hurry and crossing because they were not able to trust that God was going to deliver them and get them through it? Maybe others were crossing in a hurry that they didn't know how long that blessing that God was giving them, that miracle, was going to last, and they were in a hurry. Maybe others were crossing in a hurry because they were eager to get to that promised land. Maybe some of them were just hurrying because the others were. They were just kind of following the crowd. It tells us in this passage of Scripture that we read that there were 2.5 tribes that crossed over first in verses 12 and 13. It tells us that they were chosen men, that they were fit for service, and they were what? Armed for battle. And as Christians, we need to be armed for battle. We are in a spiritual warfare. We need to be armed for battle by knowing God's Word and studying God's Word and in our prayer life, and as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, to be standing shoulder to shoulder. Amen? When it says when all the people were on the other side, the priests with the ark came up out of Jordan. And they didn't do that until God told Joshua, instructed him to tell them. You realize this morning that God at any time can bring his people out? You realize at any time God can call, Jesus Christ himself can call this church out of this world, the body of Christ? You realize this morning that the difficulty or the struggle that you're going through right now, that passage that you're going through, no matter how tall or how deep that water seems, that God can call you out of that? Amen. But he can also, maybe the things that you're going through, he can also have you to wanting you to wait patiently until it comes the time for him to call you out of it. And you stop and think about that we long for the return of Jesus Christ to call us up out of this world. But until he calls us out of it, let us not be weary of the waiting. And in this time of this world that we live in, we can become weary on waiting for Jesus Christ to return. As soon as the priest came up out of this with the ark, the Jordan, the waters returned. They returned to their flood stage that it was at. And verse 14 tells us that there was honor put upon Joshua by all this. And just as Moses had commanded that it would happen. The time of this great event was recorded. In verse 19, it tells us it gives the 10th day of the first month. Now, this is not on by our calendar, but by the Hebrew calendar, the 10th day of this month. And you realize that it had been 40 years. 40 years since they came up out of Egypt. Some Bible scholars will tell you that they were shy of 5 days of 40 years. You stop and think about that. That's interesting, because they had to have, when they got over into the promised land, that gave them time to prepare for the Passover. If it would have been exactly 40 years, they wouldn't have had time to prepare for the Passover. Now, verse 20 through 24. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until we were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we are gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that ye may fear the Lord your God forever. The children were to ask their fathers, What mean ye these stones? What does these stones mean? You ever been around a young kid when they get to asking questions and they ask why? And you answer that question, and then what's usually the next question? Why? Why? What mean these stones? Young people, I want you to listen to me right now. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and one little bitty, and you're not young. Stop and think about this. If you're going to be, when you get older, if you're going to be wise, and you are 2 years from now, if you're going to be wise when you get into high school, to junior high, to college, when you get up and get married, if you're going to be wiser, you need to ask questions. See, there's a responsibility in this passage of Scripture that's just not for fathers and mothers and grandfathers and grandmothers to pass on this information to their children, but there's also a responsibility for children to ask. And be asking what your parents, your grandparents, your aunts, your uncles, the adults around you, ask them what God has done for them. Ask, so they'll share. See, the responsibility goes both ways, and I did not recognize that until I studied this. It's just not about the fathers and the mothers, but also the responsibility of the children to ask. If you're going to be wise, you have to ask questions when you're young. There's an example that Jesus Christ himself, even though he knew, he did this as an example for us in Luke chapter 2, verse 46. Look what it says when Jesus is at the, remember when they find him in the temple, and it came to pass in chapter 2, verse 46, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, Remember, his parents had been looking for him. Sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and what? Asking them questions. He did that as an example. Young people, you need not only hear, but you need also to ask questions. And as parents and as grandparents and as leaders in this church, we need to be sharing with our young people what God has done for us. He tells us in this scripture here in Joshua that when the parents, how they're to give their answer. In verse 22 there, and I'm about to close here. Verse 22 in chapter 4, he says, "Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry ground." We need to let our children know. We need to let our children know what we have learned from the written Word of God. We need to let our children know what we have learned from our parents and our grandparents. We need to let them know what happened here in this story, that the Jordan was stopped. We need to let them know that they came across on dry land. We need to let them know of God's mercies to our ancestors and how it affected our lives. We need to let them know that there are signs and that there are memorials to the great things that God has done in our lives. He's telling them in this passage of Scripture there that you need to tell them about the Red Sea. When you crossed over on the Red Sea on dry land, he said you need to tell them about those things. Why? So that the power of God will be magnified and that his name will be glorified, and that these children, this next generation, can see the mercies of God. It says that this would be an instruction for all people. This is just not for the Jew. This is for all people. This is for us. Remember the miracles that God has done for you and share them. Young people, ask questions. Ask your dad. Ask your mother. What has God done for you? Ask your grandparents. What has God done for you? What are the miracles in your life? You know, there's nothing better that we can do is not only just share the gospel with our children, but to share the miracles and the love and the mercy of God upon our lives. Children, maybe you need to ask. It's both our responsibilities. Maybe you say, "Well, Dad never talks about that." Maybe you need to ask him. Get him to talking about it. What has God done for you? I can tell you one thing he's done for you. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. That he could deliver you. If you're sitting here this morning, I don't care what you're going through, God can deliver you. He can bring you through that flood.